This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Here we go. Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, episode 357. We're up to Star Wars Attack of the Clones from 2002. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
All right, Nate, please introduce our special guest.
Yes, we have a guest. He's back, and he's going to be back for the next few episodes. He was here the last couple of episodes as well. Our good buddy, Robert, is here. Robert, let everyone know where they could find you on Instagram.
Yeah, hi, how you doing? Thanks for having me back again. And on Instagram, at BigKnock007.
There you go. And he bought a microphone. Doesn't he sound fantastic? He bought a microphone just for this show. He's a great guy, and he's going to be reviewing some movies with us. So, yes, that is our special guest.
All right, so let's talk about financials here, because this took a dip in the wallet, baby. This took a big dip. Ooh. And this is the first franchise that it took a dip. Nate does that negative shit, but you don't need to know the negative, because once I give you these numbers, you're going to do the mathematics in your head. So here you go. Star Wars Phantom Menace, right? The first one was at $115 million as a budget, and it made $1 billion.
Yeah.
So the sequel comes out, right? A few years later. Oh, wow. The new sequel's out. Anakin is stronger. Looking good. Natalie Portman looking good. We're going to give you another $115 million budget, right, Mr. Lucas? And did the audience say, yeah, I think this movie's better than the first? Nope. $653 million at the box office. This took a $400 dip from the first film. And I think this is the first franchise that the sequel took a major hit. Normally it's super more or even.
Yeah.
But this took a really big dip. So, Nate, what do you think of those numbers?
I mean, it might be the first one we've done where the part two was $400 million less. There's definitely, like you said, there's definitely ones where like maybe it's a little less, maybe even $100 million. Two, but four. Now, at the end of the day, this still made money because it only had $115 million. It made money. It wasn't a failure, but to your point, comparatively, they could not have been happy. They couldn't have been like, wow, this is, they're like, yeah, this is good. But we thought, I'm not surprised because I remember the Phantom Menace being divisive. I remember a lot of people hating it. Even back then, like the nerds, they all went out to see it at midnight, right, dressed up with their plastic lightsabers. And they walked out and they were like, what is this? What's Jar Jar Binks? Oh, I don't like this. And so I bet going into this one, they were like, oh, this more of these guys. And so not surprising that it made, to me, it's not surprising that it made that much less.
Oh, all right. Rob, what do you think of this dip?
Yeah, I'm not really too surprised about the dip either, because, you know, this one, I think it kind of disappointed a lot of folks. I think, you know, when I went to see it, I was kind of, you know, it was really disappointing. So, yeah, it's not surprising about the $400 million dip that it took. So,
yeah, I was shocked. I saw this number. I said, what? I was like, this is crazy. But look, with that said, let's see if the audience, if it has changed with the audience and critics.
Yeah.
Because remember, Phantom Menace came in at a whopping 52% for critics and a 59% audience.
Correct.
So let's see if it goes up.
Well,
with the sequel. Go ahead, Nate.
One of them does and one of them doesn't. So there you go. This did have a 13% increase with the critics, a 65. So this one is actually fresh with critics. It took a minor 3% dip with audiences, though, 56. So it went from a 59, which is not great, to a 56, which is slightly less great than a 59. I'm not, again, these are not numbers I'm surprised with, because most of my friend group, like people I know, like dislike this one more than The Phantom Menace. I will say I don't want to do spoilers. If you ask me before I watched this one, I felt that way as well. I don't like this one, and maybe I still don't, and maybe I do. We'll see, but I don't like it either. So yes, it did take a dip with the regular audiences.
Man, interesting. I mean, look, it's interesting. Look, let's just get into the review here, right? Let's go. Lead characters back older. Anakin, Christian Haydenson is now in the role of Anakin Skywalker.
Christensen.
Oh, Hayden Christensen. Oh, yeah. Hayden Christensen is in as Anakin Skywalker. Natalie Portman's back as Queen Amidala. Mm-hmm. All right. All right, Rob, let it go. What do you got?
I'm gonna give it a 5 for the leads. Solely, I think, based on, you know, McGregor as Obi-Wan. As far as Hayden Christensen and Natalie Portman's role in there, I thought they were just, you know, okay, you know. But what really topped the cake for me was Ian McGregor's Obi-Wan. Oh, you know, that really made my decision giving it a 5. Okay. It's always awesome to see as Obi-Wan.
Cool. All right, Nate. What you got?
That's nice of you, Rob. I'm here to I'm here to not do this. I gave it a 3. Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan is great. He's great in the first movie. He's better in this one, and he's, spoiler alert, even better in the next one. He's perfectly cast, and he's a great actor. Natalie Portman, she's fine in this. I mean, she's fine, but her acting is fine. You know what I mean? I had a big crush on her when this movie came out. I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. I was like, I absolutely love Natalie Portman. And an iconic look, by the way, with the white shirt and the white pant. Like, girls still do that, like, cosplay now. So cool, but the performance is only okay, honestly.
Yeah.
Hayden Christensen is so horrible in this. I don't care. His performance is bad. And again, I have not watched the new one or the next one in a while. From what I remember, he gets better. But in this movie, not only is his performance bad, but Anakin is one of the most annoying. He is one of the most annoying characters. You thought he was bad when he was a little kid? He's worse. As whatever age, so this is 10 years later. Now, I'm assuming maybe he was supposed to be like 8 years old in the first movie, because that would make him 18 here, because he's like getting married and he can't be 15. I thought he looked like he was 5 in the first movie.
Yeah, he has to be in 20.
Yeah, he can't be 5. So otherwise he's 15 in this, and he's getting hit on and macked on by Padme, which is creepy. But anyway,
it's creepy.
His character is so annoying. You want to talk about why, Alex, I know you hate whiny people. This is the king of the whiners in this movie. You know, he's trying to hold me back. Obi-Wan's holding me back. I could be stronger than him. I might be stronger. I love you. I'm tortured every day. My heart. I'm like, oh my God, shut up. All his dialogue is horrible. He's talking about sand. It's like, I don't like sand. It's coarse. And it's like, oh my God, what is this? A horribly written character. George Lucas, you know, I think he's the one that suffers the most in the whole movie. I hate the character. I don't care that this... How did this thing become Darth Vader? I don't know. As far as... I'm just talking about this movie. He brings the score down to a 3 because he's terrible. I hate him. I do hate him in this movie. The only scene I like is when he goes and gets his dead mom, and kills those people. That was kind of cool. Other than that, he's terrible in every single scene. So I gave him a 3.
All right, Nate. In the words of Michael Jackson, you are not alone. I am here with you. Because I gave Anakin a 2. That whining shit was for 2 hours. And I was like, no way. And I didn't remember him being this bitchy. Like, I mean, first of all, I never noticed that how whiny he is in this movie. Like, he is super whiny. You are absolutely right. He bitches about everything. And Obi-Wan is like, be patient, man. Like, relax. Like, don't go crazy. I'm going to be the best Jedi ever. I'm going to be better than Yoda. I'm going to be better than this guy. I'm like, oh my God, shut up and let the fucking Force do his thing. No, he gets angry for no reason. Like, he just gets mad angry for like no reason. Like, he got mad at her for like, he's an abusive dude, bro. Like, he got mad at her for like no reason at all. She was just like, I don't think we should do this. Why can I not do this? Yeah. He was mad and creepy. He was touching her.
It was, like, he was staring at her, and she's like, don't look at me like that. It makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a creeper vibe.
Dude, he was very like a creep factor. It was like at 100. Like, yeah, so anyway, he was annoying. He was creep. Obi-Wan suffered the most because I think they toned him back in this movie. Like, they really, like, they didn't put him in much scenes. Yes, you do get him going to the alien to check out the clones. And yes, he does his little investigation. But other than that, like, what else does he do? Like, the cool parts is when I'm gonna be honest with you, him and Anakin together was fun, like that buddy cop, like them talking to each other and yes master and all this BS, and I was just like, oh my God, remember when I took you out of whatever? And he goes, I don't remember that. And he's like, oh, you should. Yeah. And I was just like, oh God, like, this is just so like cringy. You're right, Nate. Is, yeah. the This writing is so cringy. Oh, it is so cringy. And I'll leave it at this. And this is the scene that made me go, this is a two. It's the scene that Padme is sleeping in the beginning.
With the worm.
Right? Yeah. And he goes, you're using her as a decoy. And he was like, well, master, I thought that would be the best thing to do. Right? And I'm like, oh, God. And then all of a sudden he was like, I don't think this is a good idea. He was like, well, are you jealous because my powers are stronger than you? And I was just like, what? Like, why would you say that to your master? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, egging him on, like, I'm better than you. And like, that's the whole movie.
Yeah.
I'm better than this guy. I'm better than that guy.
And then he freaking gets his hand chopped off. That's what you get.
Oh, and then Count Dooku just whooped that ass. Yeah. And you know what? And I'll say this straight up. That point in time where the first time Obi-Wan goes, we'll attack them together, we're stronger. And the first thing he does is like, Anakin, no! And he runs and Count Dooku just fucking electrocutes his ass and sends him flying.
Yeah.
I was just like, that to me is not poor writing or lazy writing, because they're showing you that he is very impatient, where Luke was kind of patient. Like Luke, I mean, in the, you know, Luke did his annoying traits, but towards when he started to get a little older, he learned about being patient with Yoda and all that. Like he figured it out. Like, oh, okay, if I calm down, let my surroundings do his thing, the Force will be with me. Not this dude. This dude just straight up ran into everything. Like, I'm the best one. Count Dooku whooped his ass in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just felt like, and Natalie Portman was great. I thought she was great in this movie. She was gorgeous. I mean, she did her thing a little bit. Her acting was a little off.
Yeah, Rose Byrne this time as her like little help. He gets these famous women who would later become Keira Knightley in the first one. And then this one that's Rose Byrne, who would go on to become famous.
Yeah, I didn't notice.
Is she the one from Insidious?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Like Insidious. Yeah. Neighbors.
Yeah. So that was interesting.
Yeah. So George Lucas is so
he was ahead of the game. He's like, you're going to be famous one day. You're going to play Portman's doubles.
You're gonna be famous.
Famous.
Oh my god, you're funny. Yeah, anyway, I gave it a two. I thought he was I thought the characters were decent. Okay, main villain, we got now Dark Sidious is his name, and then we got Emperor Pop, Senator Pop. All right, Nate, what you got here?
Two. Dude, this is worse than Phantom Menace. At least we had Darth Maul. He looks awesome. He fights. We got Count Dooku, who fights at the end of this. Christopher Lee, one of the best. Don't get me wrong. Love the casting. Love the voice. Love when he's talking. You have interfered with something for the last time. I love it. Great. But it's literally the last 15 minutes of the movie. Before that, all they do is talk about him. Dooku was a great Jedi. Apparently he was Qui-Gon's, you know, like master, and he trained under Yoda. That's great. That's great backstory. This guy's not in the movie until the very end. Okay. He got a weird lightsaber handle. It's like curved. It bothers me.
Yeah.
But it's pretty cool. He fights. Okay. So that's why it's not a one. That's why it's not a one, because at least he fights. Palpatine is in this even way less than the first movie. He's barely in it. So essentially our villains, okay, even though, you know, it's one of those movies where, similar to the last movie, we'll get more into storyline, it's about all this political maneuvering again. Right. With the political maneuvering. And so a lot of it is background stuff. And the focus of this movie is more so Anakin and him kind of, you know, him falling in love with Padme, and also his sort of showing that he has these, you know, these fits of anger, and how they talked about it in the first movie, like, oh, he's mad and blah, blah, blah. It's more focused on that stuff than it is on villains. So Dooku looks cool, but he's old. Darth Sidious / Palpatine barely does anything. And then other than that, you have like Jango Fett, who I don't care what anyone says, absolutely whack. I mean, he's on this planet. He does one, it's a good action scene, and then he runs away. I hate when villains just always trying to escape, and he gets his head chopped off at the end, like just nothing. Chopped off. What do we have here? Nothing. And clone, no, the clones are good. Robots, got a bunch of robots shooting guns. So I gave it a two. I think this is the weakest of the Star Wars movies so far, villain wise.
Okay, Rob, what you got?
Yeah, I thought it was just the villains were just serviceable. Okay, so I give them a three. You're right. Like, it's the focus was, I hate when they do that, they go to the politics, and especially on this one, it kind of diverts into the love story between, you know, Padme and Anakin. So then it focuses less on our villains. That's what happened here. Yeah, Palpatine's hardly in there. Just a few minutes of screen time. And, you know, and so that's, so I gave it a three. Just serviceable, just okay for me.
Oh man, oh man. Anyway, I gave it a one.
Villain.
Yeah. And this is why I gave it a one. I thought the villains were boring. I thought they were boring. I could give two shits about Star Wars politics. Because I'm not here for the politics. I'm not here for what happens to Nambu. Like, who gives a shit? You're just here to see what happens with the damn Jedis and Siths and all in between. I don't care about it, what happens to the world. And I don't know. I just feel like they really, you know, I understand, like I said from the last movie, I understand what George Lucas was trying to go. But it was just like, if you're going to give me an Anakin story, then give me the Anakin story. Don't give me Anakin story plus what's going to happen around the world. Like, I don't give a shit with that. I do get the whole, you know, once he got to Anakin and he started to maneuver the pieces and move Obi-Wan over here with that, Padme's over there, so let's send, you know, Skywalker there so he can manipulate him. Like, that is like, I was just like, okay, that's cool. But you guys are right. The senator was just there for like a few scenes, and then the Emperor, Dark Sidious, or whatever you want to call him, the Sith Lord, right? He was just there for like two scenes. He's walking with Count Dooku, talking to him, and that's it. And I was just like, this is why. Count Dooku, I think, has a unique character. I think he's cool because he was trained with Yoda and he fought Yoda, right? We'll talk about the action scenes. But, you know, he had that little thing. They have a little action scenes there. But I kind of liked his... I wish we got more with him.
Same. He's cool.
Like, yeah. I thought we had more him encountering Obi-Wan, but we didn't get much of it. We got it towards the end and it was kind of whack. Christopher Lee's a hell of an actor, though.
Yeah.
Hell of
the funny actor. Thing is, Dooku tells Obi-Wan. He tells him, like, the Sith
everything.
Has invaded the set. Yeah, and Obi-Wan's like, I don't believe you. He's telling the truth. He's like, no, it's not. No, it's good guys. And he's like, no, the Emperor is the... No, I don't believe it. I'm like, well, okay, then don't believe... I mean, he's still bad, but he was telling you the truth.
Yeah, and then I bet once part three comes out, he's gonna be like, oh, shit, he was right the whole time. Well, no, he does tell Yoda. I remember in the movie, he does tell Yoda, and Yoda's the one that's like, He's like, you might be up to something. He's like, we gotta keep a close eye on these bitches. But yeah, no, at the end of everything, I just felt like the villains here were just... And I can't count the droids because they're not even... They're nothing. They're just... Yeah, there's nothing. So I gave it a 1. Okay, action scenes, Rob, what you got?
Okay, so I gave it a 3. I give him a 3. I think the best of a whole movie is probably with Count Dooku and Yoda, probably. That lightsaber scene. But I thought the action, this one's kind of toned down a little bit, this film. So I just gave it a 3. It was okay for me.
Wow. All right. I think this movie does 4 things good. Natalie Portman's hot.
Yeah.
Ewan McGregor, good casting.
Hot.
Hot. The musical score, absolutely hot. And I love the action in this movie. I gave it a 5. I think this one, the one area when I was watching this where I was like, bro, these are some banger action scenes. First of all, I love the chase scene at the beginning with in the nighttime. Uh-huh. I love it. It reminds me of like an old movie for some reason. Like an old...
Fifth Element?
Yeah. Fifth Element, but it's at night. You know, and they're all flying around. And it's cool scene. Good, you know, good early scene. But there's some imagery that Lucas directed the hell out of the action scenes. He didn't do great with Hayden Christensen's acting. His writing's not amazing. I love the gladiator like scene at the end with the creatures where the three of them are in there. When the Jedis show up and they're fighting and they're charging into all the droids. Awesome. It's like a great shot. I love when they're fighting and they're, you know, then there's a part where like all this dust comes and all you see is the lasers, the blue lasers and the red lasers, and it looks awesome. When Count Dooku and Anakin are fighting and they cut the lights off and it's like dark,
oh,
and it's cutting between the two of them, sick. Yoda with the lightsaber, sick. I there's a lot of really good action in here for me, so I gave it a 5. I thought it was, you know, there's not a lot of space battle in this one, which is interesting. Like, you don't get a lot of in space stuff. But even the ground part where like all those like tank looking things are coming out and they're like, shoot the thing. And I thought it was great. I gave it a 5.
All right. So this is the only spot of the film that is kind of high for me. And it's only because of one scene. I feel like everything else was just, it was mediocre. Like, I agree with Rob. It was mediocre. It was okay. It fit the storyline. But George Lucas did something that I keep saying it for all the damn Star Wars movies, is the dark lightsaber fights. There's something about it, dude. There is something about you shut the lights off and have the good guy, bad guy fight in the dark. It's the stupidest idea, but in film, it looks great. When he hit the pipe, and the thing started to, the fog everywhere. And then all of a sudden you see the lights cut in and out. And then you see the thing going really blue, really red.
Yeah.
And then they start doing the zoom, zoom, zoom. And I was just like, holy shit. I was like, this is real. And it's cool because you could hide Christopher Lee's age in the dark.
Exactly.
You could have someone else play Christopher Lee because in the dark, you could switch out bodies. So I was like, this is so dope. I was like, this is the best scene hands down in the film. And I wish that they had Obi-Wan fighting also, because they would have been dope. Green, blue with the freaking red lightsaber. was just massive.
Oh, yeah. That's like, a missed opportunity. Yeah.
Very missed opportunity. But then the Yoda fight. I'm okay with the Yoda fight. I was like, you know what? Yoda's fight was pretty cool. But man, he's so fucking fast. I was like, Jesus. Like, it was just like, zoom, 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 zoom. And I was like, and then he goes back to a king. Like, he depleted all his energy.
He needs it. He's tired.
Yeah. I told my wife, the only design that I would have did different with Yoda was his cane turned into the lightsaber. You know what I mean? Like, he just goes click and he just drops in and he goes zero. And I'll be like, oh my God, that is like so genius. But he just opened up his cape. I thought it was cool. Jango Fett dying was stupid. Mace Windu doing his fight. He is the strongest one there. I thought it was pretty cool. But you got to see a lot of the higher ups, right? You got to see Luminari. She was there. I forgot the other names of the other characters, but they were all there. And I was just like, wow, I was like, it's really cool when you see them in live action in the shots, when you know who they are. And I was like, that was a freaking dope. When you see the cartoons and then you see them in the movie now and you're like, oh, Luminari's like, she was really at the Clone Wars Attack of the... But that was dope. I'm trying to think like other moments that I was just like, this is pretty... Oh, Anakin striking down the Tusken Raiders.
Yep, that was
cool. I wanted to see more. I don't know. It could have been me being greedy, but I wanted to see more of him. I want to see him attack the village, but when he's about to kill the kids, you can just cut it away because you already know. All you hear is like, zoom, zoom. And I would be like, oh, this dude is
good. That scene, though, when he comes back and tells her what happened is so hilarious because he's like,
it's horrible.
I killed them. It's just horrible. The men, but the women and children, oh, I hate them. <He's> like,
it's one of the worst directed scenes, I think, in the whole thing. Yeah, and the crazy thing is, right? He's like, I killed them all, Padme. I killed them all. And she goes, it's okay, Anakin. Yeah. How is that okay?
I love you.
Yeah. I'm like, wait a minute. Like, yeah, how is that okay, lady? Like, he just demolished an entire race.
Every time he has an outburst of anger, she's like,
it's okay. Yeah. I love you, Annie. Yeah. Annie. But then at the, we'll talk about it. And then the other one, like, you're breaking my heart.
Oh, that part. Oh my God. I'm not looking forward to that scene.
You're breaking my heart, Eddie.
Oh, we got more great writing ahead.
Well, horrible. Anyway, I gave it a 5. I thought it was, from that Count Dooku scene, I think that was just elevated to perfection. Okay, storyline, Nate.
No. 2. Again, with the political crap. I don't know why George Lucas thought it was a great idea. So when he came up with the prequels, I'm assuming, first of all, the nature of prequels is not something I like. It typically serves to like give you answers to stuff that you didn't really care about that much. You know what I mean? Darth Vader, cool villain. It seems like these 3 movies are literally just to show the beginning of Darth Vader. And the problem, that's not a problem in itself. The problem is that the story he chose to tell beyond just Anakin becoming Darth Vader, it's all like this political garbage, like senators. And I don't even know this. The first one, I could follow it. I didn't care, but I could follow it better. In this one, it's like you almost forget what they're even doing. And then they go back and then they need Jar Jar Binks of all people to like go in there and say, we would like to move to have the army of the clones. What is going on? Like, what are they still even fighting about? And then there's like the Trade Federation, the weird Asian aliens are back for more in this one. The Senate. What are these guys? I hate them. Yeah, I think the storyline's bad. And the other problem is the Anakin stuff. It just should be cooler. Like, let's be honest. You want this villain to like, this is easy. You have him be a Jedi learner, right? He learning under Obi-Wan, but they don't have to put so many I think George Lucas was obsessed with putting in flashes of like, see, he's going to become a villain. You see, he's got a hot temper, but it's the way he chose to show those that's really bad. The scene with the mom is probably the only kind of good one where he kills all those people. Other than that, he just comes off as a brat, like a whiny. So it doesn't really work for me. So I gave it a 2. Oh, sorry. I also don't believe the love story between, it doesn't make any sense. Like you said, this guy, every time he has an outburst of rage, she's like, it's okay. But then when he's normal and nice to her, she's like, I can't love you. That's it.
I gave it a 2. They had like a lost opportunity here. We want to see more of Anakin go to the dark side, his dissension turning into Vader. We didn't get that. We got like a, again, with the politics, the separatists, the Senate. We're not here. We want to see what happens with Anakin, how he gets there to Vader. Then we get a love story that sounds like a bad novella episode. I mean, and we get kind of like creep vibes from Anakin too, a little bit. It was just a missed opportunity. It just focused too much on the love story between the two. And I wanted to see more Vader character. We didn't see that. So I gave it a 2 on that.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with both of you guys. I gave it a 2 also. It's a lot. It's so uninspiring. I mean, I'm not saying Star Wars movie has to be inspiring. I mean, it's not. You're just there to sit down and enjoy a journey, yeah. But the journey was just fucking boring. Like, there's nothing you could, like, this movie is 2 hours that felt like 240. Like you're watching an extra 40 minutes of just useless stuff. It's a 2 hour movie that felt long for no reason. There was just flutter there for just flutter. I agree with Nate. This love story makes no sense. I felt more for Han Solo and Princess Leia than Anakin and Padme, to be honest, in terms of love story. Like, how they fell in love in the first 4, 5, and 6 made more sense to me than Anakin and Padme. I didn't sense that in this at all. He was a whiny little bitch throughout the whole movie for no damn reason. The only redemption he has that he finally got to his mom. And I was just like, oh man. But then I'm like, okay. My problem with that scene is she died mad quick. She was like, oh my God, Annie, you're so big. Oh God. Yeah, she, like, who dies like that? Yeah. Oh my God, you're big and strong, boy. You're a Jedi.
Handsome boy. I'm going to die now.
I'm going to die. Like, I thought it would have been more better. He rescues his mom and they're getting away from the Tusken Raiders and she gets shot in the back on the speeder. And then he turns that bitch around and goes, oh, hell no. And then does a flip with the saber and turns it on and just start going, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, annihilate people. You're just like, oh, hell no. Like, you know, he holds his mom and she goes, sorry. And he's just like, no. And then he starts running. And I would be like, oh, that's what I'm talking about. No. She literally died the minute she saw him.
Yeah. She lived just, like, long enough to see him.
Yeah. She was like, wait a minute. She was like, it's finally complete. You're back. So, like, I felt like that was just so coincidence and dumb. I didn't like that at all. I hated the Uncle Owen is like his stepbrother, but then treats Luke like a slave. That makes no damn, like, I know your father. Like, no, you don't. You just met him for like 2 seconds. He went to save his mom because you guys were so chicken shit to go get her from the Tusken Raiders. Like, he literally found her in 2 seconds. Like, he just cut a hole in the thing and she was right there. And I was like, anyone could have did that. Like, so I just felt like, honestly, and then story-wise, you know, the Senate and the Separatists, all that shit was kind of whack. And then they weren't.
It's confusing, too. So, like, too. This one. It's not
very confusing.
Oh, yeah.
What is going on all the time?
No. And you know, it's funny. My mind shuts off every time they go into the room with all the balls that they all discussing something.
Yeah. Oh, in the actual Senate.
Oh, in the Senate. Yeah. My brain shuts off. I'm like, what are we talking about here? And they're like, Misa wants to give all power to the clones, to Santana.
Yeah. Like, what are we cheering for?
And I was just like, well, who's getting what power? A power of what? Because 2 seconds ago, no one owns that clones army. Yeah. It was, you know, Obi-Wan just found out about it. And all of a sudden now they're giving away the rights to use it. I was just like, wait, what? Like, that's the point of the movie that confused me a lot, was the fact that the first half of the movie, no one owned the clones except the Jedi's, because they supposedly put the order in for it, which we all know it was Emperor Palpatine or whatever, and Jango Fett. But then throughout the movie, it was just like, oh, we're giving away the power to this army that, wait, for like, who, how, and what, like, all of a sudden, now that this army shows up, now they're giving away the power to it. Like, I don't know. It just felt so, you're right, Nate, it just felt like they just threw it there. Just like, okay, let's just give it, let's just throw it to the audience and see if they like it or not. I don't know. Uninspiring. I gave it a 2. Overall, go ahead, Rob. What you got for overall?
Overall, I gave it a 2. What threw me there is that score, because especially the we didn't need that romance between Anakin and Padme. Lucas should have just cut all that out. Less of the politics and more of Anakin going to the dark side, and I think put more Obi-Wan in there, more lightsaber fights. They should have done that. That's why the thing it kind of turned me off, like, all those big negatives right there, and it kind of like give me a better bitter taste, because like then that's why I kind of gave the action that score, because it kind of tuned me out of the whole movie with those negatives, especially the romantic stuff and the corniness of the dialogue. So a 2 there for overall.
All right. Yeah, I agree. I also gave it a 2. You know, going in, I was like, you know what? Maybe I'll like this movie now. I have not seen it in a really long time. I thought Phantom Menace was... I don't think it's great, but I don't hate it as much as some other people seem to. It's like, maybe this one will be better, and it's worse. I like The Phantom Menace better than this movie. You know, I agree with a lot of Rob's points. I think that the writing, like the dialogue, is not good. It's pretty bad, actually. And Lucas, you know, that's what he's known for more so is, I don't know if he's necessarily known for dialogue writing, but he's an idea guy. He has like a lot of great ideas. This is not his best. One thing I respect, I do think it was interesting because a lot of the movie almost plays out, especially early, almost like a noir film, which was kind of cool. Like Obi-Wan trying to figure it out. You know, yeah. It's almost like a mystery, which was neat. But the problem is like everything else is so uninteresting and not cool that it's like, ugh, this is just not good. I think the action is great. That's what makes it watchable. Like, but it's too long. This movie's 2 hours and 25 minutes. 2 hours and 25 minutes. And it's just needs to be not that long. It needs to be 1 hour and 45 tops. So just a lot of stuff in here that's just really rough. So yeah, I don't like it. 2 out of 5.
Yeah, I'm on the 2 train with you guys. Didn't do nothing for me, even on the rewatch. I was just like, wow, this is boring. Even on the rewatch. Honestly, I agree with you, Rob. I think if I would change the script, I think I would go more with Anakin having problems with the Jedi's ways.
Right.
And that would have been more the conflict of the film. Him not budging with it. Like him and Obi-Wan keep clashing because like the Jedi's didn't know to do this. And he's like, why? Why don't we just do it this way? And there's just so much butting heads. That's the reason Ahsoka left. I mean, for those of you out there, that's the reason Ahsoka left the Jedi Order, is because she didn't like the ways of the Jedi's. She just broke out. She was like, hell no. She was like, you guys betrayed me in this. If you guys watch like the cartoons and stuff, you'll see what they did to her was really fucked up. And she literally was just like, I'm out this. And she left Anakin. And that's the thing. And Ahsoka's Anakin's Padawan. And she left him out to dry. She was just like, I can't do this no more. And that's another thing. It's like, if they did a storyline like that in this movie, that would have been dope. Because then he would have been conflicted with the love of Padme, the Jedi Order, and then within that, you throw in a little spice of Dark Sidious, but not Senator. You don't show the Senator. I think the problem is showing the Senator and Dark Sidious at the same time was way too much. They should have just had the Dark Sith Lord sprinkling in the little him turning. Like, you know what? Jedi's didn't tell you that you could do this. And he's like, what do you mean? You could do this. And then all of a sudden he does it. And it's like, Anakin, you can't do that. That's a Sith way. And it's like, wait a minute, but it helped us get out of this situation. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, a lot of conflicts of that. His mom dying. You see his rage. And Yoda felt the conflict between good and evil because he was just like, he went straight evil and killed people. I think that's where George Lucas messed up a lot. I think he should have just did it in a way that way to guide the audience in the eyes of Anakin, not the world of Anakin. I think if we were following his journey, turning into Vader would have worked better. That's just me, but I gave it a 2. Total points, Nate?
14 out of 25. This is the lowest I've given a Star Wars movie so far. I don't know if it'll be the lowest I'll ever give a Star Wars movie because we got more coming. But so far, this is my least favorite so far.
Okay. Rob, what you got? Points?
I gave a total of 15.
All right, ballpark.
And this is one of the least favorites of the Star Wars films, and I did like Phantom Menace a lot better.
All right. Well, you know what, Rob? You're the highest one out of us three because I gave it a 12 overall points. I'm the lowest of this, and I think to me this might be the lowest one out of all of them.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about 7, 8, and 9 because that's a different trilogy when we get to that one.
Oh, yeah. This is definitely my lowest out of these three. Yes. No doubt.
Yeah, out of three.
Lower than some of the other ones, but...
That's what I'm saying. I'm not yet putting in the other films, but this might be the lowest one in these three. I do agree with you guys. Phantom Menace is a way better story. Yeah. And
which is weird
overall,
to say
so,
now.
Yeah, it is very weird. With that pod race.
The pod race in the middle. Yeah, I mean, look, that movie has a lot of issues, but this one, just the story's worse. It is worse. And while there's moments that are better, the story's worse and Anakin's worse. And he was annoying as a kid, and he's even worse as a however old he is in this movie.
Yeah, and you know what's funny? Anakin as a kid kid wasn't he got better throughout the film.
Correct.
He started to get better.
He was just annoying in this. All
this one, he was mad bitchy. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. All right, Nate, what's coming up next on the podcast?
Okay, well, coming up next, we got we're continuing on with Steven Seagal month, which gave us a fantastic movie last week, Under Siege. This week, we're doing a little Out for Justice. Rob will be back for that. And then we wrap up this trilogy. Right. You know, I've liked doing these trilogies because it gets us through pretty quick. So we will be wrapping up the Star Wars prequel trilogy with Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, a movie that I have not seen in a long time, but I do remember liking a lot. So we'll see if it holds up, if it doesn't hold up, and Rob will be back for that one as well.
All right. The only thing I remember from Return of the Sith or Revenge of the Sith, whatever, yeah. I remember it was long. I remember in the theater, I was like, damn, this shit is kind of long.
I did see
this. But they had like that hour and a half battle between Obi and Anakin. I was just like, oh, I do remember that part.
I remember there's some Chewbaccas in here too, like in the third one. There's like at the end, there's like a bunch of Chewbacca. I don't know what they're called.
The Wookiees.
A bunch of Wookiees.
But all right, with that said, Rob, thank you so much for sitting down on this episode. If you guys want to follow us in our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Nate goes live every other Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern on his Instagram account at Nateflix Reviews. Anything AMG podcast, you guys can follow us on Geeks and Flicks on Instagram. And of course, we're on YouTube. The AMG podcast is on YouTube. You guys can go to www.youtube.com/@actionmovieguys. Other than that, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.